DC Comics Green Arrow Fan Podcast. This is episode 2. Thanks for finding us or for continuing to listen in. I am one half of the host duties. My name is Ed.
I'm the better half. My name is Nick. I will be your more sexy, handsome, even though you can't see me, co-host.
Small favors. Small favors, yes.
Modest.
Nick is definitely the two-bagger host.
Of course, so, yes.
You know.
Even though I don't know what it means, I'll totally agree.
Oh, you don't know two-bagger? Two-bagger is a chick that's so ugly that you put a bag over your head in case hers comes off.
That's pretty dang good.
That's a two-bagger.
Any related to butterfaces?
What's a butterface?
Everything about her is good, butterface.
Oh, okay. There you go. While we're on this little thing here, I'll throw out, do you know what the definition of coyote ugly is?
No.
It's a girl that's so ugly that in the morning when you wake up next to her, you gnaw your arm off that she's laying on so that you don't wake her up when you get out of bed.
That's pretty dang ugly.
That's well. So.
This comedic banter almost seems planned.
No, there's nothing planned about it. This is completely off the cuff.
How do they know that you didn't plan on saying that?
Well, because they could look at my notes here and they could see that there's nothing.
They anticipated you would say that.
You're right. So, thanks, folks. This is the second episode. I'm sure this is somebody's first episode, so thanks for digging us up and listening to us. Do want to start off the show with a little bit of feedback. I think, Nick, you said we got some feedback over the past
two or three weeks
since the first episode.
Yeah, I think it's just two.
Two, yeah, something like that.
Okay, this is from Keith and Michelle Knudsen, or Knudsen, however you pronounce it. Just let us know if we're wrong. They said, "Hey, Nick and Ed, great podcast. It's so special to have a father and son do a podcast together, especially talking about something as cool as Green Arrow and Speedy. If you spill salt, you should throw a pinch over your left shoulder to keep the devil away, as they say. It's supposed to go in his eye. Whatever."
I guess that's the reasoning for the you know, when they cook or whatever.
Uh-huh, they throw it over their shoulder.
But you know why he mentioned salt, because
the
evil omen arrows.
The 13 bad luck arrows, the salt that melted the lake in half a second.
So that's, yeah. But that's cool. I didn't know that's why you're supposed to throw some over your shoulder, because it gets in his eye.
I always knew it was for good luck for something,
that.
But I didn't know
how
it was. Okay. Continuing with the email, it would be interesting to hear what y'all think about Brad Meltzer's run, a 6-issue story arc for Green Arrow number 16 through number 21, because they get into the Arrow car and all of their old gadgets. Can't wait to hear the next episode and keep up the great work. Keith Knudsen, or Knudsen, DC Noise Podcast.
Yeah, so he's co-host of DC Noise. I think Keith co-hosts a couple other podcasts, too.
Really?
I don't think that's the only one he does. In reference to the Brad Meltzer books, mm-hmm. I'm sure if we do this long enough, eventually we'll get there, although that was in 2002, and we're in 1958. We'll have to keep at it a little bit.
Do you know Doc Brown's phone number?
No, not off the top of my head. And for those of you that aren't sure about that popular culture reference, we'll leave you look that one up.
Yeah.
But in that vein, Nick and I have talked, and what we're going to do is, starting in September, we decided that we're going to go ahead and incorporate the brand new Green Arrow series into the podcast. Kind of a unique situation, being able to jump onto a book supposedly when it starts fresh. Plus, we'll have been going over these older books for a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how much of the old story they keep in. But what we'll do is we'll incorporate that new issue into one episode. So there'll be one episode that is old and new books, and then all the other episodes, however many we get in that month,
mm-hmm.
at least one.
Yeah,
will be all old stuff.
Yes,
so it's kind of a format that we do on another Teal Production podcast, but I'm not
going to go into that.
Throw out names and everything. It's just a format that's worked on another show, so I think it'll work for us. Plus, maybe it'll help those folks who are interested in Green Arrow, but not the old stuff, but they are in the new stuff,
mm-hmm.
so they'll listen in to get that part.
At least that part, yeah.
We are a spoiler podcast, so keep that in mind, although This stuff is, what, 55 almost years old, and so if it's being spoiled for you, you can't blame that on us.
Did you do your math wrong?
55 from 58?
53.
I said almost 55.
Oh, were you just doing like an anniversary number?
No, just a rough number.
53.
Captain specific there.
I might fail at equations, but I excel in addition.
So, yeah, I see you completely blew my...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I derail your train of thought?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so anyways, I'm not sure where I was going with all that. The books that we've...
How excited we were to be doing it.
Yes.
Woo. That is exactly it.
Three books on tap for this show. We've got Adventure Comics 248 and 249, and World's Finest Comics issue 95. So starting off, we've got Adventure Comics 248, which is the May 1958 Adventure Comics issue. The Green Arrow story is the fifth story in the book, which is, if I recall, the last or...
Let me look here and I'll let
next
you know.
Next to last, there might have been a one-page thing after him. But he's
There's an Aquaman. He's like six pages, I think.
Oh, okay. So he's near the end of the book, though. We're looking at a 30-plus page book here. So he's on into about halfway, I guess, it looks like.
Yeah.
So the scripting was done by France Herron, who we have found out is a pseudonym for Ed Herron. George Papp did the pencils and inks. And the title of the story is The World's Most Dangerous Arrows.
This is very true.
So we start out with a splash page here that's got a big...
Wait, did you say The World's Most Dangerous Arrows?
Yes.
There's three. Since I'm Captain Specific today, I have to nitpick.
Well, no. Arrows is plural, so that can mean more than one. That's three.
But that could mean 100.
Could, but it doesn't.
Wait, they don't know that.
They do now. So,
well then,
the splash page here opens up, and we've got a big text box kind of giving us a little bit of background. Green Arrow and Speedy are being faced with multiple guns here. We just see the hands pointing the guns at them. They're in the background. The guns are in the foreground. Speedy says, "You mustn't fire that arrow, GA. You can't. It will kill you." And Green Arrow has this... big,
it's like
arrow,
a futuristic looking arrow
with big funky head on it and everything. So, obviously, well, not obviously, but it'll make more sense in the story. We'll see what that referred to. Opens up, Roy and Oliver. That's Oliver Queen and Roy Harper. Oliver Queen is the Green Arrow. Roy Harper is Speedy. Green Arrow or Oliver Queen's ward.
Yes,
Roy Harper,
young ward.
Yes. They're both
the peanut to his butter.
They're both at the doctor's office, getting ready to do something. They're taking off their shirts. Looks like they're getting ready, perhaps for a physical. As Green Arrow is taking off his shirt, he, in undressing, slams his watch against a
cabinet,
yeah. The wall, something like that, and breaks it. He said. Green Arrow says, Oliver Queen says, "Well, that's no big deal. You know, I'll just drop it off later to get it fixed." I kind of busted it up, slamming it against the thing there. Story cuts to later on that night where they're getting dressed in their Green Arrow Speedy attire, and Green Arrow notices a large
Green Arrow,
flaming Green Arrow outside streaking by as the arrow signal, I guess, that the
We have to come up with a witty phrase to call that.
The city uses.
Like the aeroplane.
Well, the arrow. I don't know.
Danger
pointer.
I'll have one by.
Okay. Well, a lot of this, you know, they're playing off of the same kind of things that they did for Batman back.
The signal up in the sky.
20 years ago, almost, when they were doing it. So the Green Arrow and Speedy rush out. They jump in the Arrow car, and listening to the radio, they hear that a plane that was loaded with gems was robbed. and that the bandits, the thieves, got away in a specific kind of truck from the airport, an emergency truck. And so as they're zooming, I presume zooming towards like the airport or in that direction, since it's where it happened, mm-hmm. they spy one of these trucks going by, and Speedy assumes it's the stolen getaway truck, which, like in the first several issues, they do things, and it's like, well, how do you know?
Yeah, how did you know that? Do you have a superpower that you're not telling us?
You know, the emergency truck wouldn't be off of the airport for any other reason than if it got stolen and somebody
You
know, so, yes. But anyways, they make the truck as being the stolen one. Speedy and Green Arrow launch themselves out of the Arrow car that is pursuing to land up on top of the truck, but the drivers of the truck notice that they do it, and they time hitting the brakes just as the Green Arrow and Speedy are supposed to land on top of the truck. Well, it doesn't mess with Speedy. He does okay, but the Green Arrow slides right off the truck, off the front, lands in the street in front of the truck. So he then quickly reaches up with a smoke arrow and fires it at the truck, obscuring their vision, I guess in hopes that now they won't run him down on purpose, although I would think they could still do it accidentally because they can't see them.
They're still going in the same direction, and he's right in front of their truck.
So, but while the vision is obscured by the smoke arrow, Speedy fires a couple boxing glove arrows in the window, which is kind of cool because he's like on top of the truck and he fires them into the window.
Like,
and they,
part boomerang arrow. Oh, do you see that? They're actually curved.
Yeah, so I guess like they are.
Elbow bent.
I guess the artist was like, how do we make them go in there?
Yeah.
So the boxing glove arrows knock out the two bad guys and they turn the bad guys over to the police. So after this, the Green Arrow and Speedy go to the doctor's office because, actually it says the next day, because Green Arrow hurt himself when he was thrown off of the truck. He hurt his ribs.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in, he goes in as Green Arrow to get x-rays. And when they do the x-ray, they notice that there's a radium burn on a vital part of his body.
What is right there? Your kidney?
The ribs in the front.
Next to the ribs. And everything's in the ribs.
And they indicate that, it's a small spot, but radium is deadly. And so there's no hope. And so Green Arrow asks, well, I'm going to die then, I guess. How long do I have?
Will this be the end of Green Arrow?
Yes.
I had to.
As they would say on the campy TV show.
Yes.
If there was, yes.
The cliche, will our superhero live?
The doctor's response I found kind of interesting. I've read it multiple times, and it still doesn't make sense to me. He says the damage takes effect quickly. A month, maybe more, but that's about it.
Now, what are you saying there? What did you say you don't understand?
It doesn't
make
sense.
Why not?
A month.
Uh-huh.
But that's about it. That would make sense.
A month,
maybe more.
Maybe more, but that's
about
it.
Well, what's more? 1 month? 3 years?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, but...
How
you
this is a bad doctor.
Well, you can't say both.
Yeah.
You can't say maybe more and that's about it.
Yes.
I
did not notice that.
So I was like, well, which is it? A short period of time or a long period?
An extended period.
Yeah. So, okay. So that was the doctor's response. So Green Arrow and Speedy go back to the Arrow... No, actually, they go back to Oliver Queen's penthouse. Kind of disturbed now because apparently Green Arrow is going to die because he has a radium spot. So they
we need to have sound effects.
Boom, boom, boom. So they're talking and they decide, or Green Arrow actually decides, we need to go to the Arrow Cave because now would be a really good time. And it's like, well, a time for what?
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the Arrow Cave and Green Arrow he opens up the Arrow safe, I guess. And there's a big sign on the safe that says danger.
I'm telling you, we have to come up with wittier things for this stuff. The AeroSafe and what was it earlier?
The signal.
Yeah, the AeroSignal. We have to come up with wittier things for that. AeroSafe does not sound that dramatic.
Sorry, BowSafe.
The BowSafe.
QuiverSafe.
No, it's not doing it for me.
See, I don't know. So there's a sign on the safe, and it says, "Danger, never remove contents of this safe," signed Green Arrow.
Yes.
So he signed it himself. And I thought that was kind of ironic.
He John Hancocked it.
Who else is going to be in the Arrow Cave getting arrows out of the Arrow safe?
Oliver Queen.
Oh, well, he would know, too. So Green Arrow reaches in there, and he extracts the electronic arrow.
Signed myself.
Yeah. The satellite arrow and the super boomerang arrow. So all these arrows are too safe to use. So after they designed them, came up with them, they just packed them away in this safe. But now Green Arrow says that since he's going to die, now is the time to use them.
Now, is it me or does the super boomerang arrow just look like a segment of a ladder? I don't see anything really boomerang-y in it.
Oh, well, it's curved.
Ah.
So... I mean, that's all I can get. It does look like a section of a ladder that's just been bent.
Yes.
And it's got arrows on one end, arrowheads, and feathers on the other end. So now Green Arrow explains, you know, what they do. He says, each performs wonders yet can destroy the man who fires it. So you've got the electronic arrow.
Which, why would you design that in the first place? Is it a suicide arrow? I have no chance... In this, I'm only having my upper torso and my right arm, so I must launch this arrow, killing myself but saving the day once again.
Really, I won't live, but this—it's like
at least we're going to save the town from some robbers.
You don't have another way of getting out of the situation but to use an arrow that's going to kill you. So the electronic arrow, when fired, sets up a small electrical storm near the bow and can be fatal unless atmospheric conditions are just right. Then we have the satellite arrow that emits a jet stream that can kill the archer behind the bow that releases it, and the super boomerang arrow, which returns towards the bow after its work is done, but it flies so swiftly that you can't avoid being hit by it.
I know this is logic fail, but if it's going back to the bow, you know, just take it, launch your arrow, toss your bow up.
No, it returns to the spot. No,
okay, so...
Sorry.
So, go to where you don't need to be, launch it, and run back to where you need to be?
You don't have to run. Just fire it from somewhere and take a step right or left. You know.
Okay. But they make it seem like you can't do that.
Apparently not. But he does something like that.
He does,
ultimately.
Yes. So, spoiler podcast, is that what you say?
Spoiler, yes.
Spoiler.
So, They're getting ready. Green Arrow's going to take these super dangerous arrows out and use them to fight crime this particular evening. As they're getting ready to go out, sure enough, there is the flaming Green Arrow signal. So
I want to know how they do that.
They go.
I would love to see that, just looking up at night. Oh, that's an awesome Green Arrow.
They go to their big radio that they have set up there that I guess is tied into like police headquarters. And apparently somebody has gotten medical news, and basically they tell Green Arrow that, hey, we've got some good news for you. The X-rays got mixed up. The one that had the radium spot in it wasn't yours, Green Arrow. And Green Arrow's like, whew, that's a good thing. And they're like, no, instead of being yours, Green Arrow, it belongs to this other schmuck that was in here named Oliver Queen.
Ah, poor Green Arrow. They're just giving him a heart attack now. He won't die from a radium burn. He'll die from a heart attack.
So, you know, now he's like, oh, well, that's good. It's not Green Arrow. It's Oliver Queen.
Yes.
So, you know, basically this information doesn't do him any good at all.
No. At least the doctor's day... I guess got better because he told a guy he wasn't going to die.
Yeah, I guess. The Speedy's like, well, you know, how could they have made the mistake like that? And Green Arrow is telling him, well, apparently, you know, they x-rayed that one part of my body that I hurt, which was my ribs, But the x-ray with the radium spot was not around my ribs, and I didn't have any other parts of my body x-rayed, so this obviously it's not mine. But since I'm still going to die, we're still going to take these arrows out there and defeat crime using our super secret dangerous arrows.
Oh, Green Arrow, you're such a smarty.
So the story cuts to the spectacular goldsmiths exhibit, which is in this large, like some kind of
it kind of looks
concert
just like
hall,
a museum,
or, yeah, museum hall, and it's big enough that there's like a sky tram with a big car that goes back and forth across the room, suspended over the room, and periodically drops souvenirs onto the audience below. For attending.
Golden medals. That's what it's dropping.
Well, yeah, since it's a goldsmith's exhibit, yeah.
Is that smart, though? I mean, I would be the kind of guy that would walk over and get a handful.
Who knows? It's
put a different shirt on, get another handful.
It's Silver Age comics. The world was less complicated then.
People were more truthful in the 50s.
Yes. Yeah, late 50s like that. Which, yeah, man, this is 10 more years before I was even born, so.
12 before I was.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. So that means I was just 2 years old when I had you.
Man.
Wow.
You're like... My mom must have been a hardcore cougar.
Yeah, really.
I had to think about that for a second and watch my
hardcore.
Words.
That'd be illegal, actually, in most states.
Probably all.
So, as this... souvenir dropping sky
tram.
Car gondola thing goes across a particular point in the ceiling that has a skylight. Some bad guys jump out of the skylight onto this little car, intent on taking over the car so that they can get all of the gold souvenirs that are being dropped. Basically, they're robbing the car itself. So during that robbery... now, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
During that robbery, the driver of the vehicle steps on a secret button, which sends a signal to the police station, who then fire two green flare arrows, signaling Green Arrow that there's trouble.
Well, why two?
I don't know.
It's an emergency.
Says instantly the police signal the battling bowman in arrow flare code. Okay, and all we see are two green arrows flying across the sky, but Green Arrow says, trouble at the goldsmith's exhibit. How did he know that's where it was?
I don't know. I'm telling you, this power, his secret power.
He's got like Sherlock Holmesian powers of deduction. It just... So anyways, now they know that they need to go to the goldsmith's exhibit in the arrow car as they're patrolling. They rush off. See the bad guys trying to collect the loot that was being handed out as souvenirs. Green Arrow pulls out the electronic arrow and lays on the ground, kind of like the old English compound bowmen used to do, to sit down, lay down on the ground, put the bow with their feet, and pull the arrow, cord back with their hands.
Did they used to do that, really?
Mm-hmm. Because it was strung so tight, it was so compound, so heavy, that was the only way to fire it. Foot bowmen is what they were called. They were big, heavy-duty bows.
So,
and bolts.
They weren't strong enough or something to...
Yeah, it was just too... They had to...
Too tight?
It had, like, stirrups, almost, that they would put their feet in on either side of where the bow lays in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the arrow, and then they would pull the string back and put the arrow in there and let it go with their feet holding the bow. And
that seems like a convenient way to do it, a powerful bow. Just use your legs.
For longer or to help it penetrate, like maybe through armor or through rock or, you know, something like that, if you've got something, put all the power behind it.
That's pretty cool.
So that's what Green Arrow does.
Learn something new every day.
To try to avoid the electric storm that the electric arrow is going to cause. And it fires up, and as soon as it leaves the bow, basically, it starts generating this electricity. But because Green Arrow's shoes have rubber soles on them, he's insulated from that electrical sparking. And basically, it shoots up into the air, and the electricity it generates knocks out the ability of the monorail car to move or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that stops the car, stops them from, you know, getting away using the car, but they still get away. Or do they? Does that capture them? It really doesn't say, does it?
But not really.
Car can't move. Yeah, so... They do escape. Stymied the crooks flee empty-handed. So they leave all the loot. They run outside. Now Green Arrow says he's going to use the satellite arrow because the satellite arrow has, like, this camera on it. So it'll launch up in the sky like a real satellite.
Mm-hmm.
It has this camera, and he'll be able to see where the bad guys are in the area without having to run around and try to find them. So,
which I don't think they had that kind of technology back then.
Well, that's why he's Green Arrow. Because he can do stuff like that.
That okay. Yep. Story time. Continue with the story.
So he rigs up this little thing on the telephone pole using the spikes that the telephone guys use to climb up the telephone poles that are on either side. And he rigs up his bow in such a way that he can leverage the string down with this satellite arrow on it, and he's off to the side because when this is launched, the jet propulsion that puts the satellite arrow up high in the sky is strong enough to kill a man, so he has to get out of the way. So he kind of uses the telephone pole and sets up a little pulley fulcrum kind of thing to shoot that dangerous arrow up in the air away from him so he doesn't get hurt. The arrow flies up into the sky, and Green Arrow pulls out his little monitoring mini screen there. And as it's supposed to do, the satellite kind of shows pictures from down on the ground. And Green Arrow can see, well, there's a couple guys hiding over here on this side of the building. There's a couple more guys hiding by their car, their getaway car, probably over on this side of the building.
You would think, because he has enough money to make these amazingly awesome but deadly arrows, that he couldn't make a mechanism to launch arrows.
Well, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So now,
just nitpicking.
We've got a building. We've got bad guys on one side, bad guys on a second side, and Green Arrow and Speedy on a third side of the building. So, perfect setup for the super boomerang arrow. So basically what he does is he fires it in such a way that as it's zooming around, it knocks the guns out of the first set of bad guys, zooms on around the building and knocks the guns out of the second set of bad guys. And as it is supposed to do, it is heading straight back for whoever fired it. The problem being that it does so at supersonic speed, so there's no way a man can react fast enough to get out of the way. So instead of trying to get out of the way, what the Green Arrow does is he uses an exploding arrow and he fires it. And when the two intersect, everything blows up like just inches in front of him. He's thrown himself down on the ground now to not get away from the arrow, because he couldn't throw himself on the ground to do that.
Of course not.
He threw himself on the ground to get away from the explosion caused by where he blew up the arrow.
Yes.
So he's used all three of the world's most dangerous arrows. He's survived all three encounters. The police come to
arrest
the the bad guys. And
come on, use your words.
Well, see, I don't understand here because
come on.
Okay, all right. So the policeman reports that the doctors made another mistake, and actually what had happened is that this Oliver Queen guy wasn't sick. It was some radium, looked like it might have been from a watch or something like that, that contaminated the x-ray. And the policeman tells him, so you can tell Oliver Queen that he's perfectly all right.
Why would he tell Green Arrow to tell Oliver Queen?
I don't know. Maybe somewhere along the way they know that Oliver Queen and the Green Arrow are pals somehow.
Maybe.
So So there it turns out that because Oliver Queen busted his watch, it caused all this uproar about
the rub off the radium dial.
Perhaps he's going to die and all that kind of stuff. So needless to say, Green Arrow lived.
Which is good. We heart Green Arrow. We less than three Green Arrow.
The end. Yeah, less than three.
I need to sneeze.
Okay.
I'll hold it.
Okay.
Okay. So, next we'll be doing Adventure Comics number 249, where in this issue, yes.
That was, let's see here, little background here real quick. It was published in June of 1958. The Green Arrow story is the sixth story in the book. Not really sure who the scripter for this issue was. Nobody really has been able to find out. Take a shot and say that it's France Herron, but we don't know because it's never been officially credited anywhere. We do know that George Papp was the inker and penciler on this story as well.
Okay. So in this issue, I still don't know the word for it, where they show, like, they skip to ahead in the book. It's not foreshadowing.
Just say a splash page. That's the type of okay. style that it is. I know what you're talking about. We need to look up and get that.
In this issue, in the beginning, there's a splash page of Green Arrow and Speedy hiding behind a stack of logs with some mystery men shooting at them on a boat. And Green Arrow needs an arrow, and he pours out their quivers, and the only thing that comes out is broken arrows. So, let's start with the story.
Oliver Queen?
Yeah, I was going to say Cream. Oliver Cream.
Oliver Queen.
You can't even say it now.
Yeah, so
either.
You've messed me up too.
Oliver Queen and his ward, yes.
His pet boy, Roy.
Yes.
Well, that's what he turns out to be more than anything
else. I know.
You
with
know?
That superpower that we don't know about yet.
For those of you that are Charlie Chan fans, Roy Harper would be his number one boy.
I don't know.
His pet boy or his ward.
Oh,
I guess.
Isn't that a garage pet boy?
Pet boy, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, they do tires.
Is it pet?
Pep.
Oh, I thought it was pet boy. Pet boy does everything.
It's also a name of a play. Pet Boys and Dinettes is a Broadway musical.
Did you take theater in high school?
No, but I have seen it.
Ah, like in person or on a movie?
Mm-hmm. No, in person.
Cool.
At Abingdon.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the story. Like I said, you guys are going to get a lot of banter. That's just what you get with us. Oliver Queen and Roy Harper driving, and not the Arrow car, just a normal car. I don't know if it transforms into the Arrow car or not, but it's not a Transformer. It just, like, they lift something out of the back and it turns into the Arrow car.
Transformers wouldn't come for years down the road. So
that's not true. If you've seen the new movie,
they've been around for a while.
The reason that the Apollo 11 with Buzz Aldrin and the reason that there was missing feed with them, like video feed or voice feed, was because they had cut off their mics to go look at a Transformer ship that had crashed on the moon. And that was their real mission. That's why JFK had sent them up there in the first place, was to go see what had happened on the moon.
Okay.
Sorry for those of you who haven't seen the movie.
And so what, they cut off the feed?
Yeah, they cut off
the
feed, and there were this group of men who wanted the real information that had set up the real mission, and they were talking straight to them. And then after they had found out and looked at the ships, they had turned it back on to continue with the moon mission.
Okay. But they weren't, like, attacked by Transformers or anything like that.
No, it was like a dead ship.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, there we go.
I forgot where I was.
That's Transformers 3D.
We were talking
about...
You were
on this panel right here talking about the car. Maybe it transforms. Maybe it doesn't.
Okay. Oliver Queen and Roy are sitting in their car, and they're driving into a town, but there is a gate that's stopping them, and a guy, he hops out of his little hut...
Guard shack.
Okay, we'll call it a guard shack. And he asked them, "Are you carrying any kinds of arrows?" And basically, he says there are no arrows whatsoever allowed in this town.
What's the sign say?
And
read the sign.
I'll have to go back. Welcome to Kingwood. Arrows of any kind positively forbidden. Anyone carrying arrows beyond this point will be severely dealt with. Wood King owner.
Yeah, see, we have to read that to them because they wrote it so big in the panel.
They,
so
they
that
wanted
you
to
read
it
and yeah. See what's going on. Yeah.
Oh,
so.
I'm sorry. This isn't a guard shack. It's the arrow inspection station.
Touche. Right, because here's another sign over here that tells you. Yes.
Yes.
So now we're in. So Oliver and Roy are in Kingwood where arrows are not allowed.
I just realized, what was his name? Who signed it?
King Wood?
No.
Wood King.
Wood King.
His first name is Wood, his last name is
and
King.
And the name of the town is King Wood. Okay.
King Wood. Okay.
So the inspection agent said no arrows whatsoever. Ever. And, you know, Green Arrow and Speedy aren't going to give up their weapons. So they're like, no, we don't have any arrows.
No,
none
arrows.
At all. And this guy goes, what about this one? And he snaps off their arrow hood ornament off the top of their car. And he said, okay. No, don't you worry about it, because as soon as you leave, we'll get you a new one. So they're going through the town, and they see some older gentlemen, I'd say 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
They're next to Wood King Lumber Mills, and they have set 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sticks of dynamite, which in my Mythbusters experience, that's quite a lot.
Yes,
and they set it next to the Wood King Lumber Mill. They set the fuse, and, you know, in half a second, Green Arrow and Speedy are in their superhero outfits. They do that Superman costume change,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no doubt, man.
And he gets out a scissors arrow, and he cuts off the fuse before it can keep burning to the dynamite. He just cuts it. And, I don't understand. Oh, okay. Nope. Yes, yes. He launches a buzzsaw arrow.
Right.
Cuts off the branch. The branch falls on top of the older guys who set the dynamite, and he was able to capture them.
He captures them, yeah.
Well, they're sitting there doing their cliche, good job, Speedy. No, good job, Green Arrow kind of back and forth thing. When, oh my god, I need to sneeze. I've been fighting it for like 10 minutes. My eyes are watering. Do you see this?
I see it.
And they're congratulating each other. And, you know, the next thing they get whacked over the head with bat. And it looks like he must have hit them pretty hard if he could get two people in one swing.
Yeah, no doubt.
So a short time later, they wake up and they look in their quivers. And all of their arrows have been broken. I see, like, a suction cup arrow.
Yeah, there's all kinds of arrows. There's a boxing glove arrow. There's
that.
Maybe an exploding arrow here.
Do you see the rocket arrow that had exploded in the lower right? It's kind of like the outline.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically what they have now is a bow, and that's it. They have nothing to launch. So now they're back in their regular guy outfits.
Yeah, they switch and back. Because they're going into town, so they can't
be superheroes.
Right.
You know, arrows aren't allowed, and his name is Green Arrow. Something tells me they would kick him out.
He may get arrested right off. Yes.
Green Arrow's like, I'll stop and get some arrows, so we'll have at least something to use. Just some ordinary arrows.
Just some
nothing,
regular arrows.
Nothing
yeah.
special.
Just the pointy variety that can kill.
And
that's all.
Speedy says, fat chance in this town, Oliver. Even the clocks have hands that don't look like arrows, which I thought was paying attention to detail. I thought it was pretty interesting, whoever came up with that.
Yeah.
I think there's a sign that says, guns tackle everything in sporting goods except arrows.
Except yeah, so he doesn't even go in to try to get any because it says they
yes.
don't carry any.
Oh, wait, it's guns, comma, okay, like tackle, like in fishing?
Uh-huh.
Guns, tackle,
think.
Everything in sporting goods. Except arrows. So, like I said, they've still got their... A few minutes later, after a quick change. Did you see that? A little subtitle there at the top in the last frame.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, they're
after a quick change.
They didn't cover it the first time. They're trying to cover it this time. They did change.
This is true.
Not just poof.
So, they're driving in and they stop at a gas station and they're trying to figure out why are there no arrows allowed. And a guy working at the gas station, I don't want to say a mechanic because I don't know what he is. He just comes over and washes their windshield. He says...
He's kind of like, you've probably never seen the Andy Griffith show.
Everybody's seen Andy Griffith.
He's kind of like Gomer. When Gomer used to work at the gas station, that's, you know, Goober kind of did all the mechanical stuff, but Gomer was that guy that was outside that washed the windshield and pumped the gas.
I would think it would be the other way around with their names.
Gomer and Goober.
I would not let Goober fix my car. Or Goomer.
Goober.
Goober.
Gomer went on to be in the United States Marine Corps, so...
In real life or in the show?
The character.
Okay.
Gomer Pyle, USMC, was his next series, and he was that same character in the Marine Corps.
That's awesome. So, the mechanic, who doesn't have a name, says, oh, a couple years ago, Wood King's son fell on an arrow and died.
Hey.
I don't see it. Do you see an arrow sitting straight up in the ground?
He must have been carrying him and fell on it or something. Who knows?
Mom told me not to run with arrows.
Exactly. Well, he didn't listen.
And
see, you're alive. You listened.
I did. Although, you see what happened to my face? I ran with scissors.
No, actually, you ran with a wall. Yeah, I don't have sound effects. Sorry.
I told you we need them.
We're not that high tech.
The bum 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 and the dun dun. We need those. And he said, Wood King has sworn to never allow an arrow in his town. So Speedy says, "Come on, Oliver. Now that we know the answers, let's get out of here." And Green Arrow is pretty much like he thinks that he needs to prove that arrows aren't bad. So, they do another quick change that was not specified.
In talking to the gas station attendant, there's the word, attendant.
Attendant.
Is what he is.
I'm sorry.
They also, no, I was trying to think of the word, too, to give it to you, and I'm like, it's
I just said gas station
guy. It's Goober. It's
Goober. Yes, can we call him gas station Goober?
Sure.
All right.
While they're talking to Goober here, or Gomer, whichever one he is, Goober. They also find out that Wood King owns a lumber company, but he also has a rival named Hog Benson. The two of them are vying for the same contract, and that's also what's been adding a little friction in town, is that the two competing lumber magnates are fighting for the same contract, and the contract closes the next day. So dude figures, you know, there'll be some kind of fireworks tonight as these two guys settle
whoever's
going to get that contract. So that's when Green Arrow decides, well, you know, we won't just leave since this is such a bad place for Green Arrow to be. We'll stay because we've already seen these guys trying to put out dynamite in a wood mill. You know, maybe we don't necessarily know whose wood mill that was, but
I said Wood King's wood mill.
But they might not have noticed that. That might have been telling us what was going on, not Green Arrow and Speedy.
Oh, yes. All so, these different perspectives.
Yeah, you know, there will be things that keep the story straight for us, but that the dynamic duo here doesn't necessarily know. Maybe they do. I don't know. But so now Green Arrow decides that they need to stay to help this budding problem.
I feel like a comic fail. I totally forgot like half the plot there.
No, it wasn't half of it. It was just one little piece that kind of extends the plot.
Okay. So Oliver and Roy do a costume change. They're now Green Arrow and Speedy. They go to the forest and they see two different guys. I'm not sure if they're the same ones as earlier, but two different guys goofing off with the guns around, I think, would that be Wood King's wood mill?
Or probably Wood King's something, like they're getting ready to do it, or maybe this is the hangout of the bad guys for Hog Benson.
Yes.
And these are just guards. You can't really tell exactly why they're there.
Yes. So they see them acting suspicious, so Speedy, he gets this quick idea to take some reeds. I'm not sure what kind. Hollow wheat reeds, okay?
Yeah.
And he said, these will be perfect if we launch them. They'll sound like sirens. Which, I guess in his free time, he might have tested it. I don't know.
Who knows?
So, Speedy or Green Arrow? What?
As a child, I could see Speedy running around with a bow trying to fire everything to see what it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he you'll do when knowledge. You get something, you'll see how it reacts with
something,
whatever.
Yeah.
You'll use it everywhere to see. Yeah. So.
I would like to point out here that I thought that Speedy was going, Susie Q. But that's the name of the boat.
Yeah. Why did they name the boat? They're next to like a lake, hence the reeds. Green Arrow and Speedy are hiding behind the reeds. But there's like a dock with buildings behind it and a small portion in this panel of the lake with a little outboard motor boat there, and the boat is labeled Susie Q.
I thought that Speedy was saying that because he's like,
right,
this would be a perfect idea. We should use the reed Susie Q. And I'm like, it just doesn't make sense.
So,
does Susie Q mean like EGAD or brilliant?
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not sure.
But he launches the hollow reed, and it sounds like the siren, like he predicted, and the two guys are like, it must be Wood King's guards. We better get out of here. So they leave. And I guess with their victory, they were just running away from the scene. I don't know why.
Well, probably to keep from getting arrested. Oh, no, the cops are coming, and
they don't want
to
be there
and take off.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're running away. They see a man with a gun on top of a building, and he's shooting at them. And Green Arrow says, we don't have any arrows, so I'll have to launch myself as an arrow instead.
So, yeah, he becomes the arrow.
So he finds this conveniently placed hook on the wall here. He puts his bow on the hook, which it probably took a lot of talent to do this, because if you pull too far one way, it'll slide all the way down, or too far the other. And he pulls down, and he launches himself with his fist out, and he punches the evildoer with the gun in the jaw and knocks him down.
What does Speedy say here next to him?
Right behind you on the Bowstring Express.
The Bowstring Express. So there, we've got a name for that.
It's witty. Nice.
That'll be the Bowstring Express.
They're doing the work for us.
Yep.
So they both get up there on top of the building, and they walk into a door. I guess it's a two-level building or something.
Yeah.
And the bad guys realize that it's Speedy and Green Arrow, so I guess everybody's heard of them. So Speedy's like, I've got a brilliant idea. Why don't we use gigantic non-arrow-shaped brooms as arrows?
Susie Q!
So he takes the brooms and he launches it. Was that necessary?
Yeah. It's our thing, man.
And he launches the brooms at the evildoers, but they have Wood King captured and tied up. So they have to make sure not to hit him. They have him just huddled around him and trying to keep him from running away. They hit them with the brooms, and they get knocked out. Is this Green Arrow? No, this is Speedy. Speedy says, like they always say, new brooms sweep clean.
Sorry.
I think that's a shout-out for a commercial endorsement that they had here.
Silver Age.
But they had only been temporarily
stunned. They weren't really
knocked out. Yeah,
I guess.
Knocked around. So one of the bad guys goes, let me uncap the roof so all the sawdust will fall on top of Speedy and Green Arrow, which they must be in Wood King's sawmill.
One of them, I guess. Because I guess what happened is maybe they kidnapped him or captured him, and they were going to, like, destroy the sawmill with him in it,
mm-hmm.
blow it up or burn it or something like that.
So the other guy, Hog Benson.
So that his sawmill is okay. And yeah, so now they're in here and they've got the dude and they were going to do something, but now Green Arrow and Speedy has kind of messed that up.
Okay. So they run away with Wood. There's a joke in there somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah, but we won't get into that.
Okay, they're running away with Wood King, and okay, and they're running away with Wood King, and they get outside after they've shaken all the sun. I can't take you seriously when you're doing this.
I'm sorry. I tried to hold him, it just wouldn't work.
For the sake of the show, I'll keep going. And they're running away, and the bad guys are hopping in a speedboat. And
with Wood, mind you. Okay, sorry.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And Green Arrow says they need some lariat arrows. And
so he picks up part of like a fence, I guess that's like a small fence post with wire or twine or something on it.
Yeah. And they launch it down at the evildoers with Wood. And I had to. You threw it in.
Sorry, yeah.
The fence post conveniently curves. I don't understand. Okay. And it curves around them, wraps their legs in wires, and one guy gets away. I'm not sure if that's Hog Benson. Did I get that right?
Probably, yeah. That's probably him.
That Hog Benson hops in the speedboat.
Yeah, it says up here. Yeah, he's getting away in his speedboat. So
Hog Benson is getting away with his speedboat, but Speedy and Green Arrow get to keep Wood King.
What's the name of that boat?
CCQ.
Yeah. Although it doesn't say that. We know that now.
Yes.
So Hog Benson has jumped in Suzy Q to get away.
Yes. Prior knowledge is the key. And Speedy, or Green Arrow, says, quick, I need a torpedo arrow. Speedy is dumping out the quiver, and he takes the torpedo head and just a regular arrow's body, and he ties them together. And Green Arrow launches it and explodes on the boat, but it doesn't really do any damage. And it knocks him out.
Well, it knocks out the steering because, as you can see, he does a complete U-turn. And
ow! I can't steer it, is what it says.
Hits the beach right where he came from and is knocked out of the boat by hitting the beach.
So they capture Hog Benson, and Wood King is saying, oh, I guess... I'm sorry. When you're saying, I said they're running away, and you're like, with Wood, mind you.
Sorry, man. Just telling it like it's drawn.
Hog Benson has been captured, and Wood King is saying, oh, I guess arrows aren't all bad. You've showed me how helpful they can be, blah, 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 blah. So Speedy and Green Arrow have changed his mind, the whole reason they stayed in the town. The evil guy was captured. The end.
The end. Okay, so looking at Mickey here, he says we're getting close to about what we want to keep the shows at.
Who?
Mickey. You know, who's Mickey Mouse Watch. Looking at Mickey.
I thought you were calling me like...
No, you're not Mickey.
I thought you were calling me like Mikey, but Mickey, because my name's not Mikey. That's him.
Right. And I am glad, now that I think about it, that there was not a Mickey in that previous story. Because mixing Mickey and Wood would just
Mickey
not
has
have
Wood.
Been, that would have been rough, you know, if one of the guys had been named Mickey. So, anyways, normally we're going to try to do three issues, but we've talked a lot in this one. The show's getting about as long as we want to keep them. So we're going to cut this one short and just do two issues in this one. We're going to save...
Sorry to disappoint you.
...the World Finest Comics 95 for next episode. And we'll also try to get in talking about Adventure Comics 250 and 251 next time also. So if you guys do want to get in touch with us, our email address is earth1emeraldarcher@gmail, and one is the number one. It's all one word. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Emerald Archer page on Facebook. Watch out a little bit, because apparently there is an Emerald Archer that lives in California, and she has her own Facebook page, too.
So, oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, so check out the avatar when you're looking for it to make sure you'll recognize our avatar. That's not a problem. Also, the website is comicbooknoise.com/Emerald Archer, one word. Those are the three places that are probably the easiest to get in touch with us. We check the email every day. I don't know about Nick, but I'm on Facebook every day.
I am, usually.
So that's not a problem. Also, I've recently hooked up with Google Plus as Ed Moore. So if you guys want to find
You're
me
late.
On there.
I have recently hooked up with Google Plus.
Also, Emerald Archer is now listed on iTunes. I checked right before we started recording, and it's there. So if some of you folks feel so inclined to leave us some iTunes reviews, it'll help other people find this podcast. And if you find it enjoyable enough to listen to, hopefully that means that you like it enough to tell other people about it. We would appreciate that.
It is also free.
Yes, it is. Yes, our podcast will always be free. Finally, want to thank...
I was going to charge them.
Derek Coward for being the granddaddy of the Comic Book Noise / Deliberate Noise Network, of which we're a part of as the Emerald Archer, and also our family of
More
podcasts
family.
Under Teal Productions. And we want to thank Keith for his feedback. Hopefully he will continue to like the show and he will turn into our staunchest supporter. That would be kind of cool. I sort of know Keith from some of the other podcasts that he does that I've listened to over the years. He's been at it for a little while. So I've run into Keith on and off on the podcast, never met him personally though. And I guess that'll do it for this issue. Sorry we cut out that, or for this episode. Sorry we cut out that one issue. We just apparently talked more than we did the first episode. Well,
that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Nah, we'll try to keep these around an hour. Hopefully we'll be able to do three books. If not, we'll do two, and the third book will hang around until the next episode anyways. It's not going to go anywhere, so no big deal. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you folks for listening, this being your first episode. Find us on iTunes, leave us some feedback. It's all good. We will talk to you guys in another couple weeks probably, and hopefully have another episode up for you then.
All right, thanks, guys.
Talk to you later, guys. This is a Teal production.